Bum, bum, bum. This is music.
My name is Derek Cranevelt, and you're listening to Xbox Game Passengers. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the show. If this is your first time, this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game available on Microsoft's Game Pass service, which was chosen for us completely at random. So, whether it's a magical or horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of this episode, we'll be drawing the game for the next show as well, so make sure to stick around for that. Naturally, I always have a guest with me. Last week, my good friend John joined me to discuss a game that I am still playing, and I can't stop playing, and I never want to stop playing. The Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited. That's an MMO that has an endless amount of content, and it scales really, really well. So even if you can only play every once in a while, you're not left behind by your friends. So it's really, really cool. So jump back just one episode if you missed that one. Today, we're talking about something else, and the lovely Michaela, my partner in life, is joining me once again for another episode.
Hi.
For another game. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Thanks for having me back. Feel pretty special.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for playing this game.
Oh, thanks for tapping me to play this game. I'm stoked on it.
This game was drawn last week, and I immediately thought of you for this game, partially because you're really into puzzle games right now, and it, you know, they can kind of consume a lot of your time. Too much of your time. But that's not the main reason, though. The main reason is back in August of last year, we went to PAX for our first time. It was a blast. We had a super good time recording a bunch of interviews for Geekscape Games, a podcast we were doing at the time. And you actually interviewed the developers of this game, and you thought it sounded super interesting and super beautiful. I think you had an opportunity to play it a little bit at that point, and I remember you being super excited about it. So when that popped up, you had to join me.
Totally. Yeah, I was stoked at the opportunity to have a reason to actually play through this game, because I did interview one of the developers, and I was super stoked on just how beautiful it was at that time and getting to play a little bit of it, and thought that I would play it immediately once it came out. And then actually, I did start playing it a few weeks ago when I realized it was on Game Pass.
Because I think it launched on Xbox Game Pass even. Like, I think it's been on there for quite some time.
It very well may have. But I don't really, like, just look through very often.
No, that's true.
And for some reason, I was on there and saw that it was there, and I decided to play it, and I started it. And then shortly after that, you let me know that this was the next game for your podcast. And so Here we are.
I mean, why don't we just jump right into it?
Yeah.
For those that might not know, might not have heard of the game, can you tell us a little bit about it?
I sure can. So, The Gardens Between is a surreal puzzle adventure that follows best friends Irina and Frent as they fall into a mysterious world of beautiful garden islands. Manipulate time to solve puzzles and discover the secrets of each island.
I'm really glad the synopsis actually tells you the names of these characters, because I feel like the names of them are actually not referenced at all in the game itself. I mean, the game doesn't have any dialogue or anything like that. The story is kind of just told through the environments that you're in and the situations that you're in. But you aren't really ever introduced to these characters. Like, they just exist, and there you are.
I didn't even know they had names. I knew that one of them, their name started with an A, because she wears a jacket that has an A on it.
Yep,
and then
yep.
There's like a scene at the beginning that like references something about an A in her room or her life or something. Actually, they're both quite androgynous too, so I don't really know if one's a boy and one's a girl is what I was thinking. Yep. Not that that matters. They could be whatever they want to be.
They can. This is one of those games where before we really get into it, I think we should probably talk about whether or not we recommend it first. Just the game's fairly short. We're going to be jumping into spoilers. It is puzzle related. We'll probably be talking about the puzzles and where we got stuck and the solutions that we had and stuff like that. So I think that we should talk about first whether or not we would recommend it. So for you, would The Gardens Between be a must play? Would The Gardens Between be a give it a shot? Or would The Gardens Between be a skip?
I think it would be somewhere between a must play and a give it a shot. I think it really depends on like what kind of games you're into, as every game does. But Honestly, well, maybe it is a must play because honestly, it's so short. By the time you realize that you're sick of it, you're going to be done anyway. So even if it's not totally your thing, give it a try. And I really loved it. So, you know.
You really loved it, but maybe give it a try.
Well, it's just like, it's very, I feel like it's a very niche type of game. Like, yep. Not everybody is going to be into this. But it's so beautiful and the story is lovely and sad and heartwarming all at the same time. And who doesn't need a little bit of more of that in their life?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think for me, it's another must play, actually. Like, this game is a prime example of, like, the hidden gems that a podcast like this can kind of surface, because, you know, I remember you talking about it. I would have never played this game if it hadn't got drawn.
Really?
Probably not. Like, there's so many games
you
on Game Pass, and there's so many genres that I'm, you know, more into than puzzle games, but it was drawn, and once I started playing, it's like a totally unique and totally different experience from what I'm used to playing or what I'm used to gravitating towards. And it's, you know, you're not trying to beat anyone or kill anything, yeah, or like you're not doing any of that. Like, it's been a while since I've played a game that I feel like is so relaxing. And I mean, it has frustrating moments because I'm stuck on a puzzle for X amount of time and just let me get through this damn puzzle. But it was just like a super relaxing time. It was chill. Like, it was a chill ass game. And
well, and the like soundscape of it is so relaxed. Like, literally most of the time you're listening to like rain sounds. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, oh my God, this is my dream. I'm just sitting here listening to rain and playing in this beautiful world.
Yeah. No, I feel that. Yeah.
I didn't even really register that it was like a puzzle game until probably like a few levels in when I was struggling to like accomplish something. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm playing another puzzle game, because I literally play puzzle phone games all the time. And it's so embarrassing. I'm like a middle-aged woman. Oh my God, am I middle-aged?
You're getting there.
Oh, God.
You're only as old as the games that you play. So, middle-aged.
I gotta play different games.
You should got a whole page.
Back to Pokemon.
Whole page of Candy Crush style games on your
But I do not play Candy Crush.
Yeah, you're too good for Candy Crush.
It's not a matter of too good.
This design home knockoff is totally fine, but Candy Crush, you're too good for that.
Yeah. Okay. No, not too good for. Not too good for. Just not admitting that I am into that.
Right. Okay.
Well, anyways.
Keep telling yourself that.
But this is a really good only secret puzzle game.
Yeah. And it's okay, like spoiler territory from here on out. So if you haven't played the game, it's only a couple of hours long.
And then come back in a couple hours. You know,
2 to 3 hours. And yeah, it's something totally different, and it's super fun. It's also available across a multitude of different platforms. It's on Switch. You can get it on iOS as well, and I feel like it's a perfect mobile game as well.
You can get it on iOS?
Yes, yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get it for free as part of your Xbox Game Pass subscription on iOS, but I think it's like $5 or something, and it's...
Oh, we should give it to my mom.
Yeah.
I feel like my mom would really like it.
Sure.
It kind of reminded me of,
Monument Valley?
Yes!
I wrote down a specific note that I was like, I get, and not because Monument Valley is this like, you're isometric and you're kind of like rotating the land around and making things fit because of that. And it's not like that at all, but I definitely got Monument Valley vibes from it as well. I don't know if it's like the art style, even though that's pretty different as well. Like, I don't know what about it was.
I had a similar thing, like trying to pin down what exactly it was. I think it's that the sound is beautiful it's not necessarily like, bah, 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 this is music. Bah. It's like rain and like the sound of the saws moving and like whatever else that
and like when there
the
is music
game.
And like notes and stuff there, like it's more totally. Impactful because it's not ever present, I totally. Feel like. Yeah.
And then the like kind of color palette of it, I think, had very Monument Valley feels, where it's
sure,
like
I can see that,
like corals and I don't know, I'm not very good at color names, but like like teals and things like that. Whereas, you know, it wasn't like plain pastels and it wasn't like bright, like dark colors or anything like that. It was like a very like warm, kind of beautiful, like you're swimming in beautiful colors, which Monument Valley very much felt like. And the puzzle aspect, Monument Valley was very like trying to figure out what to do to progress.
It's been a while since I played Monument Valley either, but are you like in this game, it's always you're starting at the bottom of whatever level, whatever island, and you're always on an upwards trajectory. You're trying to get to the top.
Right.
Essentially, your goal in each level, and there's about just under 20 levels in the game itself. 18 levels in the game itself. And it's like you'll play like two, and then you kind of get a little cutscene, and then you'll play three, and you'll kind of get a little cutscene that kind of fills in the relationship of these people. And again, all of it is happening without dialogue or anything like that. So it's just up to you to observe the environment and what's happening to the characters.
Did we lay out how you play this game?
No, not yet.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So you start at the bottom. Your goal in every level is to carry this like kind of magically lit lantern into a thing at the top of the level itself, and that's what lets you progress. And there's times throughout each level as well that you need to let the light go out in the lantern to pass certain objectives or certain objects that the light will penetrate and stuff like that. So for like an example, that in some of the later levels there's like fog, and the fog, you know, it's like a physical thing. So there's a wall of fog in front of you. Unless that lantern is lit, you can't walk past it. But also, for instance, that fog in another instance could be a bridge that helps you cross a gap. And if your lantern is lit in that moment, you can't cross that gap because the light will make the fog disappear, for instance. So every level, yeah, you start at the bottom, you're kind of like circling around the island going up and just trying to get this lit lantern to the end. But the big thing is that like you don't have really that direct control of the characters themselves. You're controlling time essentially. So the whole game is played out over three buttons. You have essentially left and right, which move time forward and backward, and you have the A button, which is going to interact with certain objects. So pick up the lantern or grab the light that lights the lantern, or put the lantern on these weird jumpy cube things and all that sort of thing. So yeah, it's so simple, and it is a perfect touch enabled game as well. So totally. If you're playing this on iOS, you're absolutely not.
I think it would be great on Switch too.
I think it's great any platform. So, but it felt totally at home here. You can also use the triggers to go forward and back in time, which towards the end I felt was a little bit more comfortable even.
I wish I had realized that, because I was finding I was using the left stick to go back and forth.
Yeah.
But then when you're going forward in time and watching the character go upstairs, I always kind of naturally started to push up as well.
Because they're going up the stairs. Yeah.
And then it would move more slowly because really it's just going forward in time. You're not moving the character.
Right. Well, and I feel like once I started using the triggers instead, like when you're using the left and right stick, it feels more like you're controlling the characters, but using the triggers instead feels like I'm controlling something else at that
point.
And so that made it kind of feel more like I was just in control of the time versus the characters themselves. But
did you know where the idea of this whole time thing came from?
No, I did not.
So I had totally forgotten, but was looking back on my interview that I did with Matt Clark from, what's the name of the
company? Voxel Agents is the developer,
And so apparently the idea for this game came from the Minority Report, where they scrub memories to like they go back and forth in these memories to figure things out. And then that developed into looking at the memories that have created this friendship between these two neighbor kids. And then he was also pointing out that, you know, when you create a like first person shooter game,
right,
like the mechanics of doing that already exist, right?
Right.
So you just format that to whatever game it is that you're making.
Right. Yeah.
But the mechanics for this game did not exist. They had to fully create the going forward and the moving back and all that. So I found that really interesting that like such a simple game must have been so complicated to make like a baseline for having done it previously.
And to also be like to that point as well, to be something that we haven't really seen before, but mm-hmm. to also be easy to learn in terms of like I mean the controls could not be simpler.
Literally,
but in terms
my mom
of,
could play it.
Yeah, but in terms of like what you actually have to do in the levels themselves, like to understand how to progress, I think is a big thing there as well.
Well, and that was really interesting figuring out how to progress. Like I felt like that was part of the challenge because
I mean that is the challenge.
It is. And like every new level, pretty much, you're learning how to manipulate these very few mechanics. Like, there's very few things that you can actually do or make the characters do. And so you're figuring out by going back and forth over the same spot a million times, what exactly is going to change and what you're aiming at changing at that point.
Right.
So that was, I just thought that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it, like, I mean, we've talked a little bit about, it's about these two characters and the story. It's really unique as well in that there aren't really, like the story itself is just very subtle. Like, yeah. It's not, there isn't dialogue. There's no cutscenes. It's just kind of telling it as you're playing it through the environments that you're in and the interactions that these people are having and everything like that. It kind of doesn't explain anything to start either. You're just kind of that. And that I think kind of hooked me more is like you basically hit the start button. It kind of zooms into this treehouse that the two characters are sitting in. The treehouse kind of like time starts rewinding and the treehouse like blows up. And then all of a sudden they wake up somewhere else, like on the first island. And it's just at that point, you're just playing. And I thought that was cool because it was like immediately like, what is going on with these people? Do we know what's going on with these people still? Like,
I feel like the islands tell the story for you. Like, as soon as you're dropped into an island, there's like a moving truck is an island beside it. There's moving boxes with labels on them and stuff falling out of them. And like their whole lives are scattered throughout these islands. And so it's kind of like you're combing through their whole lives, picking out these things that have created moments of connection for them.
Yeah.
And that is what is telling you the story, that's creating the relationship between these characters. And so it's touching and lovely that these two people have these memories in this relationship. And at the same time, it's so sad because you're watching them reflect on all of this as they're letting it go because they're moving. And so
are you going to cry right now?
I might. It just is so, like, you know, when you think about losing somebody who you care about so much, like, clearly they're best friends. They live right beside each other. Their lives are intertwined. And walking away from those people who are so important in your life is so effing hard. Even when good things are happening and it's positive in the end, it's hard to be away from those people that you care about.
I see what you're saying. I feel like I didn't immediately... Like, for instance, one of the notes that wrote down, like, I knew that something was happening between them. And it was like, we're living through their memories and seeing these moments of connection. And it's really cool. Like, you're, you know, like in some levels, it's like they discover video games and they're playing video games together. And so you kind of have to play this, like, game within the game and figure out, like, a code on the computer and all that sort of thing in a different level. And, you know, in one level, it's like, I think they're building a treehouse at the time. And so there's all these paint buckets that are around. Because they're going to paint this treehouse. And that is the first time I got stuck.
The treehouse?
The treehouse level. And do you know why?
No.
So.
Oh, no. It's because you're colorblind. Oh, no.
So in this level.
Oh, honey.
So in this level, as always, you start at the bottom and you are progressing up towards the top of the level. And in this level, so one of the recurring things is there's these like weird cube things, and I don't really know what they are, but they're almost like creatures, and at certain points in the level or in time as you're progressing forward or back, they kind of jump to a different location.
And the whole purpose of them is so that you can leave your lantern on one of them, and that way you can avoid your light going out as you pass by something, or you can walk across the fog bridge without the light making it go away. So you have to like strategically use these jumping boxes to your advantage so that you can get the lantern light where you actually need it.
Absolutely, yeah. And in this level, there are a lot of them. And so as you're going through time, they're kind of jumping all around. And one of the things that a lot of them do is they end up jumping into the paint. There's several different colors of paint. They jump into the paint, jump away, jump into another paint. So you kind of, as you're going forward and back through time, you're able to keep track of which one is which and which one maybe your lantern needs to be on because of the color of the thing itself.
Yeah, that's how you track where they're going, so you can figure out where you need it to be and which one you want it to be attached to.
And for me,
oh my gosh,
this level took a very long time because the color, one of them's pink. That one I could tell. But the other one is like, I think a blue and a green, but they are identical to me. And so,
So, like, they were hard for me to know, really, for sure. Which one was which.
So, yeah. So, for me, they were identical, and I ended up basically having to try every possible combination to get to the end of the level.
But there's, like, oh, my God. So, it starts out, and there's, like, two to choose from, and then it goes to three
and
to choose
like
from.
Six or
and
seven
then by
or
the
something.
End, there's seven of them, and you have to, like, go so far back to watch where they come from
so
to figure out where
time.
To... Oh, my gosh. That's the first time you got stuck?
I think so.
I got stuck on the dinosaur level.
That's after that.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm right. I'm wrong. You're right.
Oh, wow. You heard it here first.
So that was the first time I got stuck. And I got stuck a number of additional times beyond that. What was starting the game out like for you?
So actually, for the first time, I used our Xbox headset.
Right,
thing.
Yeah.
And so
the Turtle Beach Stealth 600 wireless headset.
Yes. It's
in
real
case
nice.
You're wondering. Yeah.
It is real nice. So I put it on, and then I get into the game, and immediately, like, before the screen is even loaded, it's just rain sounds. And I was like, I am in my happy place. I love the sound of rain. If I can fall asleep to the sound of rain, I'm a happy girl. So that was great. And I didn't fall asleep. So there's a bonus. And then it's just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, even just the first loading screen, I was like, oh, yeah, this game. And it just made me so happy. And it is kind of sad, but it, like, it brings you in right away. And I found it really... The mechanics are taught to you so gently that I didn't I could remember what it was that I needed to do. I could easily learn how to control it. I basically understood what it was wanting of me from the beginning. And then I actually, when I got to the saw level, which is like, I think the third level or something
like
that.
I feel like that's after that.
It's pretty quick in there. It might be after that, but I think it's, like, within the first five.
Okay, sure.
That level, I had actually played on the demo.
Oh, at PAX.
At PAX. Yeah. And I got so stuck. I just was like, I don't know what to do. I'm not a gamer. I don't know what I'm doing. And the guy was like, no, it's okay. You're doing great. And so I tried. And I was like, no, I can't. I don't know.
I give up.
And so he showed me that you just, like, keep doing the same thing. And so that was another mechanic learning type moment where, like, yes, you can go back and forth, but sometimes when you go back and forth, the effects of what you've done going back and forth stay in place.
And that, I don't know, that is, like, I had to look that up on that level.
Really? Oh, it makes my heart so happy when you struggle with things. And I know that's awful, but it just makes me feel so validated. Did you know that I think I only had to look things up one time in this game?
Oh, I looked up things up more than that.
Yeah. I think there may have been a second, but I'm foggy on the second one. I played a lot of it, like, post-night shift on, like, an hour and a half of sleep. So, But, I think the dinosaur level was the only one I had to look up.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I think I looked up maybe three things.
Okay.
And I don't remember what. Oh, one of
the saw.
The saw is one of them, and one of them is in the last level I had to look up as well.
Oh, the lightning.
The lightning, yeah. But in this level, like, because I feel like it doesn't, and it's not every object. Like, sometimes it's like the objects rewind too, and it's just like random objects at times that it's like the time doesn't affect. And I feel like that's confusing. And so I'm going back, like, going back and forth, trying to figure out, like, what I can interact with, what I can do, not realizing that the saw, it kind of makes sense there because whether I'm going forward or back, it's still sawing.
Yeah, but why is that? Like, when you go back in time, why is the effect of
sure,
the saw?
Sure, exactly, yeah. And so that's, like, I didn't think that was a possibility.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think of that as a possible solution at that point.
Totally.
And so once I looked it up, I was like, oh, yeah, of course. And
well, and I'm sure if I hadn't already been taught that that happens, I would have had to look that up as well. I did actually make a note at some point that I felt like the rules for the mechanics sometimes just change, and, like, there's no real rhyme or reason for when that happens or why that happens. But I'm not even mad about it.
You ain't even mad?
I ain't even mad. Because I think the time when I wrote that down was when, like, at one point, so there's two ways in which time moves. Time moves backwards and forwards, but then also the one character, the one who doesn't hold the lantern, can ring these bells. Mm. And that kind of like shifts the moving backwards and forwards to a different element. So the characters stay in the same spot, but say those jumping box guys, then they move backwards and forwards. Or the dinosaur bones fall down or raise back up. And so mm-hmm. when you ring this bell, you can control a different aspect. I'm talking with my hands so much, and it doesn't make any sense because we're a podcast. Nobody can see me.
Right.
Anyways, so in one of the levels, you ring the bell, and then it moves the moon through the sky.
Mm, yeah.
And then you are standing in just the right spot, and the moon moves through the sky. And instead of you, because you pick up these orbs of light for your lantern from these flowers
yeah,
throughout
yeah.
the whole game. They come from these flowers. And sometimes the flowers are moving, and so you have to be passing by the flower as it moves in the right spot at the right time, and you have to manipulate things to make those two collide, but it's always from the flower. But in this level, for some reason, the moon moving through the sky, you have to line that up with where your lantern is, and then that becomes the orb in your lantern.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? Why does that make sense?
That was like this point of light.
Totally,
right?
Like, yeah.
And so... Yeah, but I feel...
I was like, they're just changing how the mechanics work. They're just making it up right. as they go along. But I wasn't even mad because it was so freaking beautiful. And I was like, oh, I just captured the moon. This is amazing. So I ain't even mad about it. It was just nice.
Right, yeah. So where did you have to look something up then? Because, yeah, for me, it was the saw, and for me, so the last level, for instance, so there's kind of like seven little kind of worlds, and they're between two and three levels each, and they all kind of culminate in a memory that these characters are sharing together. So you mentioned like the dinosaur bones, for instance, and that is like when they took a trip to the museum as kids and learned about dinosaurs and that sort of thing. And so, oh, you said that was where you got stuck. Is that right?
Yeah, the dinosaur level was...
Do you remember what you had to look up?
No, I figured out that the amber around the bell breaks when the dinosaur falls down.
Yeah, right.
And then, oh, there, and then you like go up.
Yep.
Like a level and on the island. And then you have to, a bone falls into the right position to go up. And then you get something from up there and you go back to the bell. And then you have to change where the bone falls so that it goes down. And then you can go down a level to do something there.
Right.
And I was really struggling. And then I actually gave up at that point because I had like post night shift, had played this for a couple hours, wanted to die, and was like, F this, I am going and having a nap. I'm not playing this game anymore. And then when I came back to it the next day, after many hours of sleep, I was like, okay, I'm totally going to get this now. And I tried like so many times and was like, oh, you're just so dumb. And so I looked it up so I didn't have to feel dumb anymore. Mm, yeah. And then I felt dumber because
right.
I
feel like the few things that I did have to look up, I was like, why did I have to look that up? That shouldn't have been necessary. Yeah. Like, one of the other points I got stuck. So the last level that you play, it's a longer level. Like I think you go through, like you got to hit the top like three times, whereas most levels are just one, or every other level rather is just one single time.
I think it's because I don't know what we're classifying as levels. They're like each island, but then there would usually be three islands in one kind of like group.
Yes.
That made up a constellation when you got to the end of it.
Yeah, didn't it? Like, what were the constellations?
Not really sure.
Yeah.
It was like a group of memories. But
yeah,
like,
okay.
I thought it was going to be like a range of like getting harder in each
right.
one. But then I found like the dinosaur level was right in the middle and that was the hardest one
right.
for me. And then, you know, there was a few afterwards that were not even that hard. So I don't know.
Yeah, so in the last level, there's a section where essentially there's like a storm going on. And so there's lightning. Lightning shooting down at certain points as you're walking. And I did not figure out that if you, so basically as the lightning's coming down, again, spoilers, I hope you're not listening to this if you haven't played the game, but spoilers, if you stop time right when the lightning is like coming down, lightning is like instantaneous, I guess, in like kind of, isn't it? Like it's very, very quick. It's not there and yeah. then it's there. And so in this moment, the lightning still spreads and it spreads kind of differently if your time is frozen at that point. So it might go off to a different target at that point and blow up the rock or whatever that's in front of you, blocking your path. And in the last level too, kind of the environment is built up of like stuff from all of the previous levels. Mm-hmm. Like the saw is there that you mentioned, yeah. and there's a TV from the level where they really like video games and all that sort of thing. And it's kind of like,
well, and it's kind of like, instead of having three separate islands under the constellation group, it kind of is spiraling up. So you're still getting three chunks of that level,
sure.
but they're just continually spiraling up mm-hmm. instead of moving to another island.
And at this point, like it took me a long time to figure out what was happening story-wise. I at the end of this, you get a cutscene that shows you kind of what happened. And it's basically like they look kind of grown. Not, I don't know if they're grown up, but older than they were to start. Or am I totally wrong?
You're totally wrong. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't say that you're wrong.
My own perspective.
Totally have your own perspective. I felt like they were the same kids at the beginning and the end. Because it was them looking back on their memories.
Sure.
It wasn't you living through those.
Right. But one of them's moving away.
But one of them is moving away.
Yeah, so one of them is moving away. But
and you didn't pick that up from the beginning?
I didn't notice moving boxes at the start.
They're like the first island, at least, if not the first three islands, so many moving boxes.
I don't know.
There's a moving truck and like a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
That's okay.
So towards the end of the game, I'm like, one of these kids is dead.
And oh, no!
That is, I thought it was way more sinister than it actually was. One of the kids is dead, and the gardens between are a place where they can go and still make memories together.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe when they go to sleep, it's nighttime, there's constellations.
Yeah.
When they go to sleep, it's like, you know, that they're both together again versus one of them not existing anymore. That was what I thought. And then I was like, oh, they're just moving. That's not, you know, they can text.
So dramatic. They gotta be like, so dramatic.
You know, Skype, FaceTime, iMessage.
Do you feel like they were maybe in the like 90s though? Because I was wondering if it's like a millennial designed game. And so they're looking back at like their own childhoods.
I think that
there was,
now that
like,
you say
Walkmans
it, I think they
were. And like old school computers.
Yeah. And there was, like the computer was super old looking.
Yeah.
And there were the Walkman, it was a radio. It was a pocket radio.
Oh, I thought it was a disc, or not
no,
a disc,
in,
like an actual like cassette Walkman.
Because
they have
in
cassettes
the level
all
that,
over.
There
it.
Are cassettes.
Yeah.
And there's a VHS.
Totally.
VCR
yeah.
at some point.
And they're all CRT. TVs.
Yeah. But in the level with, that's a really cool level, actually. The level with the music.
The level with the music.
There's like headphones and the headphones are pumping kind of a neat soundtrack. But once you get up to the radio, it is a radio because you change the station and it's like a different genre of music at that point. And the cube that jumps around, it changes based on which music is playing at that point. So you kind of have to do it in a specific order because there's something in the level as well that will suck up the light if the jumpy thing gets too close to it. And so you got to like figure out the timing and the order of that. But that level, I thought was really, really neat as well. Yeah.
That one took me a little bit because at first there's like the jumping thing that holds onto your lantern. There's the jumping thing that has the light flower on top of it. And then there's the jumping thing that has the dark flower that sucks up the light on top of it. And so for me, just the light flower was jumping around and I couldn't figure out how it was supposed to work. But then I realized that there was actually other radio stations. I was just like going right past. And so there's like totally different like tempos and vibes of music for each one. It was so neat. I really liked
it. It was. Yeah. That was a cool level as well.
Do you have a favorite level?
I think I would probably say that level did stand out for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the music level, mm-hmm. I thought the computer level was cool too, just because the like, so in the computer level, there ends up being a code that unlocks something and you have to kind of type it in by jumping forward and back in time and hitting the right letters. This is one of the things where, for some reason, I've hit this letter, and even though I'm rewinding time, the letter that's been typed doesn't disappear. So it takes a minute to get used to. But I thought that level was really cool as well, because I think that's the same level like you pop out a VHS tape to use it as a ramp and all that sort of thing, right? Yeah, I thought that section was pretty cool. How about you?
That was actually my favorite level. Yeah, nice. Yeah. There's like, what do you call those things with the numbers on them that turn like in the Da Vinci Code? I don't know. But anyway, so there's like numbers that you have to line up, and six of them are like a slightly different color. And then you're like, oh my God, I walked over some numbers to get here. I must be able to put these numbers into the thing that I walked on. And then you have to print on a dot matrix printer.
Right, yeah.
And every time you print, you can like choose four different things to print from. And every time you print, it like creates either the jumpy box thing or a bell or, you know, the dark flower or whatever. And that was just so fun. I don't know. I kind of thought maybe it was because that level was more contemporary. Like, it was more what you would expect from a puzzle game. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was a more straightforward kind of puzzling.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe because it had numbers and codes and stuff. I don't know. So I thought maybe it was easier for me to do because I have used those mechanics in life previously to try to solve puzzles, right?
Yeah, right.
But also, it was just super neat. I loved the printer thing.
That was really cool, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's just one of those things where it's like a lot of the levels, they're not immediately obvious. Like, you are, like, for a few minutes, you're like, like, what is going on? How do I progress? How do I proceed? And then it feels, you figure it out pretty quickly for the most part, I feel like, but it feels rewarding to do so.
So rewarding.
Yeah. No, it feels, it was a really good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really was so proud of myself when I figured out the lightning.
I had to look that up, like I said.
Yeah, so. It was hard. And I think the reason that I figured that out is because I had read somewhere when I was looking up the dinosaur thing.
Yeah. The answer to this one?
No. Can you imagine? I was so proud of myself because I read it before. No, when I was looking up the dinosaur thing, I also read something there that told me when you finish a group of islands, so most of them are three islands, and then at the end of that, you get the flashback thing.
Right,
The, what do you call that?
Just, I don't know.
Not a screen, like,
it's cutscene.
Cutscene, okay. Yes. Well, cut all that part where I sound like a dum-dum out. So you get this little cutscene, but it's not really a cutscene. Like, you can just go forward and back.
Oh, it's like 5 seconds. Yeah.
But in those things, I didn't realize this until halfway through, if you pause, like, something in it will move. And if you pause at just the right time, whatever that moving thing is will keep moving even when you stop moving forward and back.
No way.
And then it, like in the dinosaur one, at the end of that, an egg cracks open, like the egg is shaking.
Right.
But if you just keep moving back and forth, it'll stop shaking. Like, it'll shake and then stop and then shake and then stop. But if you pause where it's shaking, everything around it stops and it keeps shaking. And then one of the little jumpy guys hatches from it.
Really?
So I didn't know. Every single one of those, every single one of those cutscenes, if you did that and you found the thing that kept moving, then it would shift. And you, like in the telescope one, the telescope is shaking and then it spins around and you see in the reflection on the big lens at the end, you see the little jumpy cube guy floating through space.
Yeah.
So then when it came time to do the lightning one, I was like, I wonder, this lightning is moving. Nothing else is going on.
Right.
I need it to hit over here. I wonder if I just pause while the lightning is like at a bright point, if the lightning will just keep moving. And then it did.
No way.
And I was like, man, I learned things and I did the things and I was successful. It was very exciting.
That's pretty cool. I did not ever notice that.
Yeah.
I did not clue into that at all, actually.
Yeah. It made me want to go back and do it on all
else.
The,
yeah.
But I'm too lazy for that. So
yeah. I won't. You don't have two more hours to get this game?
Not right now.
No.
Nope.
No. Because you want to play Elder Scrolls Online after listening to that last episode, huh?
I already knew how good Elder Scrolls Online was. Yeah. I played Elder Scrolls Online a long time ago, and it was so much fun.
Why don't you play it now?
Ain't nobody got time for playing them video games right now.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm working lots and sleeping lots. No time. So also, yeah. I'm playing a lot of puzzle games on my phone, so I don't have time for real games. Oh, man.
Was there anything else that you wanted to cover in regards to this game, or do you think you're ready to move on?
I just wanted to ask you the pipes level.
Yeah.
Did you find the pipes level really hard?
No. Like the nighttime levels, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel like I did.
Like the one where she loses her jacket.
And then there's like the stream and stuff, like the water, and you have to get them over the lines, but some of the things have fog.
Yeah.
No, I didn't find that hard.
Oh.
Like, I mean, it took me a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nothing. I didn't have to look it up like I did for the lightning. So,
yeah. I have a criticism. Do you have any criticisms?
Honestly, I don't think so. Like, I think aside from sometimes the rules seem to change.
Yeah.
But once you kind of expect that to be
then your mind
the case,
is
then your mind is more open to it. So in that first instance, I feel like it didn't fit. But after that, it kind of does make sense. That's the only thing that I think like kind of irked me at all. But yeah, the rest of it, I just felt like it was like a super chill, super relaxing experience. And it was like, it was a nice change of pace compared to a lot of games today.
The only thing that at one point I wrote down, this is kind of boring because it's so repetitive. Like I had to, I don't know, I think because I was struggling through things.
Sure.
I just was like going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. They're walking the same like 5 feet over and over again. And
right.
I couldn't figure out what the F I was supposed to be doing. So that part was a bit challenging in terms of like staying engaged because I was like there's no way to succeed here.
I feel like I could be watching Barry.
I could but other than that
what about once you found the solution to that chunk though?
Well, and that might have been on like a level like that might have been on the dinosaur level, so I may have just had to look
it up.
I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
But I think once I got past that and once I like even looking up the dinosaur level, I was like, okay, there's always going to be, like, it's always going to be right in front of you. You
right.
just have to keep
because each
looking.
Chunk, each chunk that you can be in is fairly small, right? Like, aside from something like the paint level where they seem to jump around the entire level and
totally,
you can't see the colors.
I can't remember if it was the paint level or another one, but it was one with like multiple jumping things that could hold your lantern, and I just fully got it by chance. I was like, I don't know how I got
I
here,
I
but I'm not going to question it.
I wish I had that same luck there.
Oh,
for
sorry,
sure.
buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I loved that game. It was just, it was so lovely. It was so lovely to be in that world for a little while.
Yep.
And classic Monument Valley feels.
It did,
yeah.
Which again is interesting because it wasn't like.
Not at all.
It's not really, it doesn't play like Monument Valley.
It's just the puzzling.
Just the, I think it's
aspect.
Like that, like the chill out feel, because that Monument Valley is a very chill experience as well. And is that like its own genre? Is that a thing? Chill
it
out games.
Be. It must be.
Yeah,
Candy
I liked
Crush.
It. I could deal. No, that's not the same.
That is pretty chill.
No, but it's not like this is chill and like the just the chill vibes that it has and like the music and everything like.
Yeah, the sounds and the
yeah.
and the prettiness and yeah, that's all very different.
Very
but I
different.
Think it keeps you engaged.
Lack of
by
microtransactions.
Having, oh, I love that. I think it keeps you engaged by having that challenging aspect.
Totally,
but it's not. Stressful. Like you're not gonna die and fail
if
you don't get this right now. You know, if you can't point your gun and shoot in the same direction, you're still okay.
You're getting better at that. You got that down now, pretty much.
Well, it's been a while. Who knows?
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe we'll find out soon if we have to play Halo 2.
Oh, I can't wait for that day. That's actually why I started this podcast, is so one day
we will play.
You would eventually have to play Halo 2 with
me. And then are you gonna end it? We'll like play through the Halos and you'll be like, that's it.
That's it. That's the whole goal. Actually, I almost ended it last week when I wanted to keep playing Elder Scrolls Online. So
you were like, well, we
found my game.
This.
I found my game. So maybe in 500 hours, after 500 hours of play, I'll start this again. So
that's a pretty inconsistent gap. I would not recommend that.
pod fading, you know?
Yeah.
It's a thing. Anything else you wanted to say about The Gardens Between?
No.
No? just it's worth a try.
Yeah. It's what was the other one that's more enthusiastic?
Must play.
It's a must play. I've changed my mind. It's a must play. I swerved you at the beginning there. It definitely is a must play.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Do we get to pick the next one? Let's pick the next one.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to do the honors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just so you know, you can't see it, but I am going to press the button for picking it. Dun, dun, dun.
So next episode, we are playing something called Inner Space, and I have no idea what that is.
Literally have never heard of that at all.
Okay.
0%.
So we'll find out what that is.
Good luck to next week's guest host.
Oh, surprise, it's you. No, we're playing something called Inner Space, and this has been The Gardens Between. Thank you, Michaela, for joining us for another episode.
Thank you for having me. I'm super stoked I got to play this
game. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm glad. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that it lived up to the high expectations that it sounds like you had for it.
High expectations, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it for another episode. So thank you again. Whether it's your first time or whether you've been around for a while, I really appreciate you coming and listening to the show. And if you like what you have heard, there are a lot of ways that you can help us out. Whether that's a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you might get your shows. An actual written review on iTunes is pretty huge. But the best thing that you could possibly do is if you like the show, if you share it with a single friend, maybe they'll like it too. And then my numbers go up. So that's, you know.
But also, people get to enjoy
maybe you guys will discover some cool games like The Gardens Between that you may have ignored otherwise, like I definitely would have.
Or so. Elder Scrolls.
Or Elder Scrolls
been
Online.
For days.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, with that, we'll be back in 2 short weeks for a chat about Inner Space. So until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.